For October 6, 2016, it's the Lullabot Podcast. It's the Lullabot Podcast, episode 197. I'm Matt Cleave, a senior developer at Lullabot. With me, friend and co-host Mike Herschel. Hey, Mike.
Hey, good afternoon.
Matt, or should I say top of the morning to Mike Herschel. How are you, man?
I'm doing fantastic. I'm feeling good. I'm feeling energetic.
Yeah? So this is the Lullabot Podcast. We talk about all things Lullabot. Well, kind of. What is that?
All right. So that's a good question. We're just still learning that here ourselves. Lullabot is a web design strategy development firm that specializes in a lot of Drupal, amongst other things.
Yeah, we've been doing that for over 10 years now. So hopefully we're getting it figured out.
It's amazing. Yes.
So yeah, this is a podcast. We get together every 2 weeks and talk about web development, Mike's dog, Drupal, that kind of thing, right?
Yeah, my dog.
And this week, Yeller was sad because you were in Dublin. What were you doing in Dublin, Mike Herschel?
I was doing a little bit of everything, but the main thing I was drinking, besides Guinness, was Drupal knowledge at DrupalCon Dublin.
DrupalCon Dublin. So DrupalCon is a major conference put on by the Drupal Association a couple of times a year. One of them is over toward Europe, and one of them is in North America, and then sometimes they have them elsewhere as well, right?
Correct.
So we just came from DrupalCon Dublin, and with us to talk about what happened in DrupalCon Dublin, we're going to bring on another Lullabot who was there. Chris Albrecht is a senior developer and has been doing Drupal for, I don't know, a few years now, and has been with Lullabot for a few years as well. Hey, Chris.
Hello, everybody.
Chris Albrecht is from Denver. He actually grew up in South Park.
I did.
Did you really?
Yeah, I've got the yearbook to prove it.
Nice. That explains so much, Chris. Also, with Chris, we have a trainer and developer at Drupalize Me, Lullabot Education, Mr. Joe Schindler. How are you doing, Mr. Joe?
Hey, friends. I am doing great.
Good. Joe is from Minneapolis and also went to DrupalCon Dublin, and we got to hang out with him a bunch. It was awesome.
Joe also had a session in DrupalCon, right?
It's true. I did.
I would love to hear about that, and we'll get to that in a second. So, Mike, tell me exactly what happened, where it was. Give me the blow-by-blow. What was going on at DrupalCon this time around?
All right. So DrupalCon Dublin was in Dublin, Ireland. It was at the Dublin Convention Center, which was a beautiful convention center right on the river in downtown Dublin. Had this really pretty blue neon when looking across the river at it. It's what, a four or five day conference. So we had there was trainings and sprints on Monday, the main conference sessions on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, and of course sprints on Friday, and possibly going beyond that.
That's kind of the common rhythm for Drupal cons is that Monday through Friday, but the main part is Tuesday through Thursday, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So Chris, you were there.
I was.
What'd you think?
So this was my first European con. I've been to a number of the North American conferences and even one in South America. And it was a very different vibe than the North American conferences. It was smaller. I think we almost had 2,000 attendees total.
Yeah, I think there was around like 1,700 and change.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so the North American ones get up near 4,000 when you get to the biggest ones. Smaller attendance, but there was also, it felt more developer-centric to me. There weren't as many big businesses in like roaming the convention hall or the expo hall, trying to pass out business cards and hook up and make business deals. It felt a lot more like everyone there was there for the same purpose, really. So it had a much more laid back vibe to it. It was really cool. I got a lot of great information out of it, and it was a fun experience.
Joe, Mr. DrupalCon.
I agree. I've been to, this is not my first European DrupalCon. I've been to a few in the past. I thought this one was exceptionally good. Mike mentioned that the venue, the Dublin Convention Center, I thought the venue was super great. It was like kind of just the right size. It was big enough that everybody fit, but at the same time, it was like small enough that sometimes it would kind of awkwardly force you to congregate in the hallway, even if you didn't want to. Which was nice compared to, like, for anyone that was at DrupalCon in New Orleans, the convention center was like a mile and a half long. Like you'd walk in the front door and you'd walk for a mile before you got to the session room. This was more like you walked in and the DrupalCon was right there, which I thought was
even sometimes cool. From a keynote to a BOF, it was a fairly long walk in New Orleans. So
yeah.
This one was mostly like vertical. So if there wasn't long distance walking from one space to another, it was just like get on an escalator and go up a flight and ta-da, now you're at the floor that has BOFs on it.
Hooray.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, Chris, I think you were kind of hitting on it. I did not go, and I have not been to a European DrupalCon. But one thing that I have heard from previous conferences, and it sounds like it holds true, is that European cons are often better if you're into core contribution and the community and that kind of thing.
I would say that's a true statement. I felt like, and probably helped because of, like Joe was saying, the layout of the convention center was really conducive to putting people together. But it was. There was a lot of people who were really into getting into the BOFs and just talking in the hallway, and you're sort of forced to bump shoulders with people that you might not normally do. And it was – I didn't go to that many sessions or look through too much of that, but it was, I think, it felt a lot more, core conversationally. It was focused on development and learning Drupal 8 and sort of putting all that together. Whereas I feel like more of the North American conferences, you get a lot more of the sort of business tracks and the education government tracks, some that's more outside of the code base and pragmatic approaches to things.
I don't know. To me, the U.S. or the North American cons are just kind of like the European cons with all that business stuff added in. I think there's still maybe the same or more amount of all the developer stuff going on, but it's kind of spread out in between, the business, so
I wonder if it's just an issue, not an issue, but a reflection of the size difference. The North American Drupal cons are, at least 1,000 people larger, if not more, I think. Mm-hmm. And so is in that when the conference gets bigger, it becomes like everything, there's much more going on. And so it's easier to say like, oh, wow, there's all this other stuff that I haven't seen before. But when the conference is a little bit smaller, it feels a little more focused, maybe? I don't know.
It makes sense.
There's always the curmudgeon that says, what are we doing here? We could have this in a high school gymnasium.
Yep. They could go to bad camp.
So sessions, besides, I guess let's start with Joe. What was your session on, and how did it go?
I heard you had a session during lunch.
I did. So I gave a session about documentation. The title of the session was Documentation is Getting an Overhaul, and it's basically like a State of the Union type thing for what's going on with documentation on Drupal. One of the things that was crazy is DrupalCon Dublin had two lunches, as far as I could tell. The schedule every day had two slots for lunch, like from noon to one and then from one to two. I didn't actually ever try to go get two lunches. I probably should have. but then they also ran sessions concurrent with the lunch blocks. And they'd run, like, during a normal time block, they'd have, like, say, six sessions. But during lunch blocks, they'd have three sessions. And so mine was during one of the lunch blocks. Considering that it was me talking about documentation, which is generally not a super popular topic, and during lunch, I'm pleased with the number of people that showed up and were interested. And the session was, I've actually given a similar presentation at the last couple of DrupalCons talking about the current state of the tools on Drupal.org that we use for managing documentation and various initiatives to improve them, and trying to just sort of drum up support in the community for some of the ideas that we're trying to implement and educate people about how we could make documentation better. This one was pretty cool because I feel like for the last couple of years, I've mostly done a presentation in which I complain a lot about how bad things are and that we should make them better. And this time I felt like I got to talk about a lot of cool changes that the community and the Drupal Association have made over the last couple of years. And that was cool.
Joe, I'm not sure that I've stuck my toe in the documentation pool recently. Tell me what some of those changes might be like if in the documentation.
Yeah, probably the two biggest ones are an initiative called the Drupal User Guide, where we're trying to write some sort of highly curated documentation in which, instead of kind of allowing it to be just a free-for-all wiki in which people document whatever they feel like documenting and skip the things that they just don't feel like documenting, we created an outline that says, if we're going to write a user guide for Drupal, it should contain these things, and then went through and wrote all of them, and it was reviewed. The content is reviewed. We had a copy editor go through and edit it all. We did user testing where people read through the manual and told us whether or not the manual made sense. And so that's one of the projects. The other is changes to the tools that we use for documentation on Drupal.org. The documentation section, commonly referred to as the handbook, has historically been just a bunch of book module pages. And that there's about 12,000 of those pages right now, and it starts to get a little bit unwieldy when it comes to managing those. So there's a new infrastructure in place that allows for documentation to be broken up into sections or chunks. I think we're calling them guides, which is a little bit confusing because it can clashes with the user guide. But anyways, you can break these things up. And so like Matt, for example, you could say, I know all about plugins. I'm going to be the maintainer of the plugins section of the documentation. And that gives you some additional rights with the pages within that section. And it also allows us to provide more credit for your contribution to the community. And the state of that is like we built all the tools and now we need to start using them and teach people that they exist and how to use them and so forth.
I like the idea of this documentation that's curated. It sounds like it's a lot of work to get it done, but it's great that, you know, you have a one source that's accurate and written kind of with a consistent voice and kind of the go-to place to find information.
Yeah, to me, it sounds like Drupal's finally growing up, you know, with, you know, as opposed to the free-for-all open source, you know, bizarre type way that it was before.
And for those who don't know, it used to be if you have an account on Drupal.org, you get an edit tab on a lot of this stuff. So you just click edit and say, oh, this is wrong, and change it. And
yeah, and that's for the most part still the case. Like the user guide, you won't get that opportunity. You can't edit it without submitting a patch, basically. But the rest of the content, you can still just go click edit or add a page. The idea, though, we just did things like if you're the maintainer of a section, if someone adds a page or edits a page in your section, you'll get an email that says, hey, Mike Herschel was editing one of your pages. And then you'll be like, oh, God. versus before, it was like, you could say like, yeah, I wrote this page, and then someone else comes along and edits it, and you have no idea unless you go there once a week and click refresh and see if it's been Mike Herschel or not.
So getting off this tangent here of me editing documentation, what other sessions did you attend, and did you have any favorites?
I went to a theming session, which this is, you know, now I can't remember the name of the session. Laurie, who is one of the gentlemen actively involved in Drupal's theming system, gave a really good session. It was primarily about component-based theming and how to do such a thing in Drupal 8. And it was fascinating. I kind of walked in because I was like, it's in the auditorium. There's power outlets. I'll go in there and watch this one. And then I found that I really enjoyed this session. I learned a bit about the theory of component-based theming, which was interesting because I've heard about it in the past, but had never really thought about like the practical application. And I was like, oh yeah, I could totally see how this would be useful. So that was cool. What else? I went to a session about the use of semantic versioning for Drupal 8. So like Drupal is the first version to use semantic versioning and this promise of we'll have regular releases and they'll come out on a schedule and all of that. And the session was kind of looking at that and whether or not that's working. I think Gabor gave the session. I enjoyed that one. That's kind of a look back at the idea, like why that idea of semantic versioning was presented and basically saying like, yeah, it has been successful. it was the thing that I learned the most about in that was experimental modules. So Drupal Core with Drupal 8 has this concept of experimental modules where a module can get added into core that's in like an alpha stage. So it doesn't have to be complete, and they mark it as experimental. And that means that's sort of an indicator to, like, you know, those of us that are building sites to say, well, I shouldn't necessarily rely on this, but it's a great way to test things out. So I knew that those existed. What I learned was that experimental modules have essentially a timeline. Once they've gotten into Drupal core, there's a fixed number of releases that they can be in core without moving to stable. I think it's 3 and maybe 2. It's like, so for example, the Big Pipe module, which got put in Drupal 8.1, if it's not stable by Drupal 8.3, it'll get removed.
Yeah, that's right. They have 1 year.
Yeah, I didn't know that that was a thing, which is neat.
I think it's good. It prevents the cruft from piling up, you know? So, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's pretty, and it's kind of that deadline to, you know, finish what you started or we're going to yank it.
I tried to go to a session about the migrate module, like a core conversation, talking about how to keep continuing to improve the migrate API in Drupal 8, but the room was full and they wouldn't let me in. They had like room monitors standing outside the door and they were like, nope, sorry, it's full. And I was like, but I really want to participate in this conversation. And they were like, you can go to room 2A. And I was like, what's in room 2A? And they're like, I don't know, but there's room in there. And I was like, well, okay.
I had one of those too.
It sounds like migrations are something that people want to know more about in Drupal 8, huh?
I guess so.
Yeah, that and just kind of improving that. I had a discussion with Mike Canello at the airport, and we were talking about the UI for the migrate, you know, and how because it has a UI, it's a real kind of pain in the butt. And that's the topic for another podcast, the whole migration thing. Maybe we should put that in our little Trello board.
I was wanting to mention, though, Joe, being with Drupalize Me, you guys know a thing or two about migrations and migrate module in Drupal 8, right?
It's true.
That was the softball.
I've spent a lot of time recently on trying to better understand how the Migrate API works, because we've been producing a lot of tutorials on Drupalize Me that try to explain it, because there are parts of it that are like pretty complicated. But it's also a super important topic, and especially right now where people are trying to make that transition from previous versions of Drupal into Drupal 8, it seems to be a really hot topic, and we're trying to do our best to keep up with it and provide good tutorials and documentation. So I was trying to go to the session so I could be prepared for what's going to happen next, but now I have no idea, so I'll just make it up.
Thanks, Dublin Room Monitor.
They're recorded.
Yes.
Yeah. All right, Chris Albrecht. Did you go to any sessions? And if so, tell us about them.
Yeah, so I took sort of a different approach this year for this conference, and I really wanted to get into the code, start migrating a couple of contrib modules that I have out there, and getting into D8. So I didn't really go or even really attempt to go to too many sessions because I know that they are recorded. I feel like I get a lot more value. I mean, there's some sessions where it's good to sit there, you can take notes, and when someone's explaining it to you that way, you can really just get it into your head. So nothing against the sessions. I feel like I learn better in the boss in the hallway tracks or just sitting in the sprint room working on stuff and being able to ask somebody next to me, like, how do I make a form in Drupal 8 that saves the system settings like I did in Drupal 7? And they can help me through that sort of thing. So my goal for this conference was to get into the code, get a few things done, and really like sort of push myself forward that way and use the conference to keep me going. Mm-hmm. I did go to one session to start with. It was Yosef and Inky from Amazee Labs. And they were talking about the different layout tools in Drupal 8. Which it turns out is remarkably similar to the layout tools we have in Drupal 7, such as paragraphs, context, panels, panelizer. The block system looks like, especially with what's coming out in 8.2, is going to be amazing in Drupal 8. So it was a great kind of, like, you can build sites using the same methodologies that you do in Drupal 7, but here are the differences and unique points and the way we recommend going about it. So from a site builder perspective, it was great to know that that's all there, that I can spin up a Drupal 8 site and start building things without having to know much about how the code works yet. So easy to get yourself in and get started. But I ran into the same issue that Joe did. I tried to go to a session and I didn't show up in time. And I think Mike, you and I were at the same one. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it was the support staff at this conference was amazing.
Mm-hmm.
It's at the same company the Drupal Association used in New Orleans and for a few previous cons, I think.
Really?
But, mm-hmm, yeah, it was the same guys. I volunteered when I was in New Orleans to do like room monitoring and help out with a few things. And the guy in Dublin who brought me a dongle for my computer the first time I needed one because I forgot to bring my VGA dongle with me, it was the same guy that I worked with in New Orleans. So they bring the same company with them. And so the support staff there.
Aren't they all volunteers?
No.
No.
I think it's like there's like a bunch of different layers of people
there that are, yeah.
Happen. It's like there's the sort of audio visual staff, which I think the DA is a company that the DA works with that come right. and help with all of that. And there's volunteers that do a lot of the work too. And then, mm-hmm. and in this case, there was also like the staff at the convention center,
yeah.
like the guy who stood at the bottom of the escalator and put a lid on your coffee cup every time you tried to go up.
Yeah.
Wait, what?
Yeah, that's a good point, Joe. Yeah. There was, I'm talking about different.
They didn't want open coffee on the escalator or what was
correct.
That?
Yeah. Yeah. I guess maybe it fouls up the machinery or something. Who knows?
Somebody,
yeah, whatever.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. I can tell you, like, just from personal experience, my room monitor that I had at my session in New Orleans was just horrible. Chris Albrecht.
Yeah, geez, that's awful.
Yeah,
yeah. I know. All I did was tweet at you the whole time and put it up on the screen.
Yeah, yeah. So the joke is for the listeners, Chris was my room monitor. Yeah.
I'm sorry.
So, Mike, you went to some sessions too, right? Tell me about the sessions you liked at DrupalCon Dublin.
I did see some sessions. I did a lot of stuff. The two sessions I really enjoyed. I went to WebChick session on I forget what it was called, but it was about other CMSs and how they're kicking Drupal's butts and what we can do about it. And I walked in maybe about right after they did WordPress because I didn't see any WordPress, and I think we were going over Wix or Squarespace or something like that. And she had like a bunch. She kind of talked about. How these different platforms are marketing themselves, and showed various UIs for them, and what they have that Drupal doesn't have, and what Drupal has that they don't have, you know. And obviously, Drupal 8 is so awesome. It does a lot of things that that these other content management systems have. But like for example, Sitecore markets itself to kind of being able to track the user and customize the website based on the user's, you know, perceived preferences and stuff. Talked about the various like user interfaces with like Wix and Squarespace and Contentful, you know, and the fact that Contentful, of course, has a you know, like a very pretty API as opposed to like the Drupal, you know, mess of JSON that it spits out by default that's currently being worked on. But at the same time, you know, Drupal, of course, has a lot of strengths that each one of these do not have. Another one that I really enjoyed was a Ted Bowman session, Drupal 8 Blocks, Who Knew? And so I'm thinking, I'm just going to go in there because I know Ted and, you know, I didn't want to walk too far. And I figured, you know, Drupal 8 Blocks, I mean, what's there to know about them? They're blocks in Drupal. It can't be that hard. But I actually learned a lot of things in there. So like the whole Who Knew? Like tagline on it, like really applied to me because I didn't know. And so like some of the things are like the access plugins that are defined in different modules apply to your Drupal 8 blocks, which, you know, I wasn't aware of because I'm not currently working on it. I'm still stuck in Drupal 7 land. He showed us a demo where he was able to, you know, insert the various different fields on nodes into different regions within the block system without using something like panels or something like that. And I thought that was pretty amazing. And I downloaded a number of sessions for the flight back you know, just so I had something to do. I watched this one, Creating Layouts and Landing Pages for Drupal 8 by, what is it? The username's Pixelite, and Suzanne, a really long last name, Durga Cheva. And that one was pretty interesting. Talked about different layout tools, some site building tools within Drupal 8, like including paragraphs and stuff like that. And I always, like, site building is what attracted me to Drupal, you know, eight, nine years ago. So, like, I still kind of enjoy learning about new stuff like that because it's a big Lego castle, you know. So I think that was pretty awesome.
And so sessions are a big part of DrupalCon, and here's the secret. We've mentioned that they're recorded, and you didn't have to drive all the way across Europe, almost? I don't know. Or fly all the way across the pond.
It'd be tough to drive to Ireland from anywhere.
Probably so. I'm sure there are ferries, Ireland, though, right? There are ferries.
Yeah, they have ferries.
I'm sure there are.
You could take the ice bridge between
wait,
Alaska
so where are we going
Siberia
with this train of thought?
So we're going. So
I don't know. What were we talking about?
So I was talking about the sessions. Right, the sessions at DrupalCon Dublin are recorded. So you can go to events.drupal.org/Dublin2016 and go through the schedule and look at the events that were there. And then on that event node, if you click on it, there's a video player. It's YouTube, right?
Yeah, it's an embedded YouTube.
Hi, everyone.
Player.
I'm playing one right
and,
now.
A core conversation about.
There you go. Maybe you might learn something.
You definitely will.
Anyway, so the DrupalCon goes well beyond the sessions that happen in the regular part of the conference, and we'll talk about some of the other stuff that's happening and answer a question. We'll try to answer a question we heard on Twitter. So going to DrupalCon, that's just a vacation, right? We'll hear about that coming up right after this.
Hello.
Hey, Brian.
Can you hear me?
It's President of Lullabot, Brian Scowron. How are you?
Doing great. How are you?
Awesome. Hey, you know, on the podcast, we often mention that Lullabot is a strategy, design, and development company. That means that somebody could actually reach out and say, hey, Lullabot, we want you to do work for us.
That's correct.
And you're the guy they end up talking to.
Most of the time, yes.
Yeah? So people reach out through the website, or how does that usually work?
You can reach out through the website. We have a few nifty inquiry forms that you could fill out to put down your information and project details and stuff. And then a friendly person from Lullabot, perhaps me, will be in touch. Or you can call our phone number, which I believe is also on the website. And if I was really prepared, I'd have that at my fingertips.
877-Lullabot?
That's the one. Yes, 877-Lullabot. Also, you know, you can usually find a Lullabot at you know, major Drupal events, and everybody is pretty happy to help.
What makes a project that Lullabot really wants to be a part of?
A lot of things, actually. You know, typically we look for projects where we've got a lot of things you know, aligned with our client, you know, both in terms of our personality, our attitude toward having a cooperative partnership on a project. We also look for projects that, you know, are interesting from a technical perspective or do new and interesting things with Drupal and adjacent technologies. You know, sometimes we are interested in projects that, you know, have some sort of impact on the world, or, you know, require some creative and design element that that we're particularly well suited for. I would say the easiest way to find out if a project is a match is to reach out and get in touch with us. And, you know, we'll learn all about what you're planning and you know, see if we're a good fit for one another.
And Lullabot has been known for a long time of being a Drupal company. We do a lot of Drupal work, but we also do some other things.
That sounded like a prompt.
It was the softball. It's
like, yes. Yeah. Yeah. These days we're doing a lot of things with JavaScript, like Node.js, React.js, stuff like that. We've done some iOS and Android work, some connected TV work with like Roku and Samsung devices. We also consult on systems administration, performance, and DevOps. So we run a pretty wide gamut. But we're always on the lookout for interesting opportunities where we can make an impact.
Did you say that we had a super sweet design team that are way cool?
Did I not say that? Oh my gosh! Well, if I didn't, I think it goes without saying that you know, we have an amazing design team, and we've been doing a lot of incredible design work. Most recently, we worked on This Old House and did the redesign for thisoldhouse.com. And, you know, typically, along with design, we're also doing a lot in the realm of content strategy, digital strategy, and that sort of thing. So, yes, we've got an incredibly capable team, you know, from top to bottom, from strategy to design to development.
Thanks, Brian.
Thanks.
Welcome back. We're on the Lullabot podcast, and we're talking with Chris Elbert, Joe Schindler, and me about DrupalCon Dublin. And
I'm the one poor sucker who's on the podcast who didn't get to go. So I'm hearing about it from you guys.
Yeah, and it was pretty amazing. So, so outside of sessions, right? So did anybody go to BOFs, Chris Elbert?
BOF being a birds of a feather discussion, kind of a small ad hoc group that gets together and talks about whatever. I think it's always one of the high points of DrupalCon. They're not recorded. So if I have to choose about going between a BOF and a session, I go to the BOF. So what kind of BOFs did you see, Chris?
So I actually organized two that I wasn't planning on. That just sort of came up as the conference went on. I spent a lot of time in Sprint Room working on code and talking to people in there. So it was unofficial sort of hallway track kind of conversations, which same as BOFs, they're not recorded. They're, you know, it's information you can't go back and watch or listen to later. Which is why I think they're so much more valuable to me. So as the week was going on, I was telling people about some of the tricks that I'd learned using PHP Storm or some of the things that I had learned porting my first D7 module to D8. I'm like, yeah, you know, I could probably fill in one or two of those empty BOF slots on the board over there and help some other people out with this. So I did. I put my name up on the board on Thursday, and it was a small turnout for each. I think being Thursday, there's a little bit less attendance. Fewer people are making it out as the week starts to wind down. I know I was up against a number of really good sessions that were going on at the same time, but still, people came and we had good conversations. I learned something, they learned something. And I think that's, with the BOFs, you kind of get two different types of a BOF. A lot of people who submit sessions for DrupalCon and get those sessions, and their sessions not accepted, will often schedule a BOF as sort of an unofficial session and do their presentation that way. And so I did go to one that seemed like it was like that. It was about testing, everything from BHAT, unit testing, JavaScript testing. So it was sort of high level, but it was very presentation-like. There was a little bit of interaction with the group, but we were being talked to more than we were having a discussion together. So I learned a few things from that. But I like to keep mine more of a group discussion and less formal. And I didn't have a presentation ready. So I came into it, like, I wanted to learn something and I wanted to teach something, and we'll see what came out of it. And the BOFs are just so great for that. And I learned a few tricks in PHP Storm that I didn't already know, and a little bit about building modules. So
if you see Chris at Drupal Camp or in any, you know, Drupal event, you need to corner him and ask him about PHP Storm, because he gave a short talk, probably a lot similar to what he did in Dublin at the Lullabot retreat. And there were just developers with their jaws on the floor going, holy crap, I didn't know I could do that.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing when you can pull out one of those "what" moments on people. I love that.
Yep, exactly. Joe Schindler, any BOFs in your DrupalCon?
I went to a couple. Like Chris, my favorites are the ones where it's more of a discussion and everybody gets to participate and everybody has something to contribute. In particular, I went to one that was about adding default content to Drupal core, whether or not it makes sense to have a situation where the first time you install Drupal, you're provided with like some example content and example content types as part of the, I don't know, demonstrating how Drupal works. And it was a fun conversation. I think as a result, where there's kind of an initiative or maybe unofficial initiative to try to create an install profile and try some of that out and see what it would be like if you installed Drupal and there was something to play with other than a page that said, like, I'm sorry, you have no content.
My initial reaction to what you were saying was like, holy crap, Drupal doesn't need stuff you need to delete after you install it. But then I was like, wait a minute, but it needs to be useful to some people. And you have no content isn't very useful. Like, I
guess there's an issue on Drupal.org that's like 11 and a half years old or something at this point.
That is so classic.
We're now trying
Drupal
to tackle and see if we can solve it.
Yeah,
that's awesome. I think that would be super powerful for, newbies coming in. So,
Mike, did you go to any good BOFs?
Yeah, I went to one that was I went to this BOF. I think it was being put on by Morton, and he was talking about, you know, adding a new theme into Drupal Core, which I'm all about because, you know, Bartik is so 2010, and it was really interesting. I wanted to kind of hear the discussion, and everything I heard was kind of spot on, so I didn't even really participate in it. Like some of the things. When you get into creating themes and stuff, it's very bike sheddy. And by bike sheddy means like everybody wants to get their say in and they will fight for their say. And, you know, you get too many cooks in the kitchen and then nothing ever gets done. And so what Morton was saying, and this has been something that I had been thinking for a long time, is that to get sign off from, you know, XYZ core contributors or whoever to give a committee, you know, that has certain people the authority to basically create this theme, knowing that it's going to end up being better than Bartik and going with it, you know. And I think that's a fantastic way to go forward, just because if we go forward into traditional development way, it's going to get bike shedded when it's really a design issue, you know. So
what's your issue with Bartik?
It's old, you know.
I mean 6 years is ancient in web.
Yeah,
like
yeah, it really is. Like, you know, it has the rounded corners, it looks very bubbly, it looks like Drupal, you know. And I don't know if that's necessarily a good thing.
I like that I learned the word triptych from Bartik.
Yes, I think everybody did.
It's a good one.
But can you spell it?
No.
All right. Then you are a true Drupal developer.
So being in Dublin, DrupalCon has a, you know, it's always great when you can go to these great locations and go to a conference. And I think Dublin is a place that's been on my travel list for a long time. I'm sad I didn't get to go. So Mike, was it great going to Dublin? Did you find any leprechauns? Were the hills green? You said the beer was good. I mean, how was Dublin?
The hills were so green. So I did a little bit of hiking south of Dublin prior to DrupalCon, and we had two Airbnbs reserved down there with several Drupal friends, of one of whom is Chris Albrecht, and we did some amazing hiking up and down the hills. Josef Dabernik took some amazing photos that are on the Amazee Labs Flickr page. Cool. And that was pretty awesome. Getting into Dublin it seemed like a nice city. It seemed relatively clean. Everybody was helpful. I didn't, you know, get beat up or mugged, which, you know, you never kind of know. There were pubs everywhere. Yeah. One of my favorite things is when I was down in Glendalough, which is where I was hiking. There was a pub and it said established 1776. And I thought, so cool that this pub is as old as my country. You know?
The beer was much fresher. The beer wasn't that old.
Yeah. And it was just fantastic. You know, what's everybody else's?
I was kind of surprised with how modern the section of Dublin that the convention center is in was. I often do that thing where, like, I go to cities in Europe and it's like every single thing there, it's like the newest thing is older than the oldest thing in Minneapolis. And I'm always kind of like blown away by that. And I find it really cool. But Dublin had a lot of really modern architecture, like glass and steel buildings right down along the River Liffey by the convention center. I guess there's quite a big tech scene in Dublin, and it's drawing a lot of new development and people to the city. And as a result, there's been quite a building boom, which was interesting to see.
Yeah. I have some friends who, the first time I ever visited Dublin, we stayed with them at an Airbnb, and that's how we got to know them. And I kept in touch with them. So I went to dinner with them one night there, and it was a short walk from the hotel, which was right across the river from the convention center. You can get to some really old parts of the city. You know, their Dublin Castle was in walking distance of the convention center, and that's from, I'm trying to remember now, 1600s, 1400s. It's old. It's very old. Yeah. But the part of the city that we were in, which is on the east side of the city is all really new. And so my friends were telling me that they, within the last 10 years, have really built that area up to help attract the big businesses. I mean, my hotel was literally across the street from the from Facebook's European offices. So like all the Facebook employees were hanging out in the front there. And then Google's also had offices just up the road. And it has a lot to do, I think, from they were saying that Dublin's a great place as far as taxes go in Europe.
Like the tech companies in America often have the office there to find tax loopholes and that kind of thing.
Right. So, yeah, I mean, Apple had a big problem with that recently, and they owe the Irish government a lot of money. But that whole Grand Canal area that's on that eastern side is, yeah, it's relatively new, but it was clean. It was modern. There were so many fun things to do there. Great eateries and pubs, but it was also walking distance to so many cool historic monuments.
Yeah.
And
I like that you could walk like pretty much anywhere you wanted to go. And mm-hmm. I definitely did a bunch of walking while I was there. I'm sure my Fitbit stats for the week are like double what they normally are, at least. Yeah. I had this idea that, like, I'm going to Ireland. I got to go to like an Irish pub and drink a Guinness in an Irish pub. And I've got this like picture in my head of what an Irish pub is. And it's like, it's kind of dark and dreary, and it's like lots of dark wood and booths and, you know, people that are there that have been there since like 1716. And
kind of like the Irish version of Moe's Tavern.
Totally. Most of the places around the convention center were like much more modern and new. So you had to walk a little bit, but you could walk up the river a bit. There was a neighborhood called Temple Bar that had a bunch of older, what I guess I would consider to be more traditional as someone that is not Irish in any way whatsoever, Irish pub. And I totally found one and sat down and had my pint of Guinness, and it was great.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, nothing tastes better than a Guinness fresh from the source. You can absolutely taste the difference over there. I miss it.
So speaking of social events, you know what I really enjoyed? I like that there was an official DrupalCon party. You know, it was on a boat that was out in front of the convention center, and I don't know if it was put on by the DA. I'm assuming it was. But it's the first, like, official party that I know about since, I think, like, DrupalCon Chicago, you know, when it was in the museum.
Yeah. So it was on a boat that was just nearby? Like, it was anchored, or did you go on a trip, or, like, was it?
Yeah, it was anchored. It was, like, some type of double-decker big boat.
It was a restaurant, like a restaurant bar that they had turned up this boat into.
Okay.
So we weren't like rocking around on the water or anything.
Okay. And I suppose it wasn't even anchored. It was probably tied to the.
Yeah, it was moored up.
The dock or the moored. Hey, look at our.
Uh-huh. I know nautical terms.
We've got nautical terms galore.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I thought that was pretty fantastic.
Yeah, I enjoyed that event too. I always love that, like, the opportunity to meet some of the other people that are attending the conference and just chat.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it's nice when it's like, I like that events like that sort of, they're a little bit socially awkward because normally I wouldn't go just talk to random people that I don't know. But then I'm like, but like, we all have something in common. Like, I don't have to like make small talk. I can be like, so what do you do with Drupal? And we can actually like talk about things that we both know about. It's kind of cool.
We've all seen that you have no content error. Like, we have
right, totally. Everyone has seen the empty front page.
Yeah, and it's important, you know. Like something I was talking to Chris about, as Chris and I walked up into trivia together, and then we were like, you know, let's just kind of split up since we've been hanging out the entire week, you know, and meet new people, you know, and you know, I'm proud to say that my trivia team kicked some ass. We came, I think, in 31st place, which is pretty good.
That doesn't sound very good.
It was pretty good. I'm pretty sure there were thousands of teams.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. That's funny that you say that because I ended up on Joe's team.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't end up on Joe's team. I'm like, Joe, I don't know anybody. Can I be on your team?
Good.
We took what, Joe? We were eighth, I think, out of thousands of teams.
Yeah, we did pretty good.
Eighth. Now you're starting to sound like you did something.
Right?
I had so much fun at trivia. I mean, it's always super fun. For anybody that doesn't know, this was actually one of the questions. When was the first DrupalCon trivia night? And the answer is it was in Chicago.
And organized by the Irish.
Yep. But since Chicago, on the Thursday night of DrupalCon, there's always been a group of people that put together like a sort of traditional pub trivia event with Drupal themed questions. And it's always a really good time. This time in particular, I think it was sort of like, wow, we're in Dublin and this is where pub trivia comes from. Like, that's cool. And everybody seemed excited. I just have like a couple memories. One in particular where they asked a question about like some versions of Internet Explorer would allow for like 4,095 style
CSS
selectors in a style sheet. What do current versions allow? And we were like, more than that? I don't remember what our answer was. And when they're reading off the answers, they tell you what the answer is, and it's like some huge number. And they read it off, and like one person in the room stands up and she's like, yes. And you're like, wow, you're the one person in the room that knew the answer to that question. It was kind of awesome.
They had some they had some questions that to me were fantastically horrible, where they had like, you know, prominent community members reading Gaelic, you know, common Gaelic stuff. And we had to try to guess who that was. And it was funny, the MC was up there and he was apologizing as he was doing this, like, yeah, don't know how this is going to go, but, you know, screw it, we're going to do it, you know, and I thought that was pretty funny.
Yeah. Sounds like you guys had a really good time at DrupalCon Dublin.
It was fantastic, yeah.
Sounds like it was a really cool city to spend a weekend.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So I agree.
There was a tweet from the user Socket Wench. Tess Flynn is a Drupal community member, also mm-hmm. Socket Wench on Drupal.org, that said, let me pull it up here. We'll link to it in the show notes. Someday I should write a blog post called DrupalCon Isn't a Vacation. So is DrupalCon a vacation? You guys sounded like you screwed around. You went to hiking, you went to pubs. That was a nice vacation, right?
That's interesting, because I actually decided that I was going to, like, initially when I first heard it was Dublin, I'm like, hell yeah, big vacation. And I had like 10 days before the conference booked and it was going to be a big party. And in the time in between, I cut it down to like, no, I'm just going to the conference. I can't afford a big vacation. My wife's staying home this mm-hmm. for this trip. So I was intent to make this not a let's get drunk every night and party with everybody and actually let's go get stuff done trip. And for the most part, I was pretty good about that. I remember in New Orleans, because there was just so many lullabots there. Every time I tried to go back to the hotel, I ran into somebody else like, hey, we're going back out. I'm like, me too then. Okay. And then...
Fighting with flamethrowers.
Sure, that too. Yeah. So, I don't know. Is it a vacation? It can be. You just have to decide what type of vacation. I absolutely had a lot of fun hanging out with people, and I didn't do as much sightseeing because I had been there once before, so I didn't feel guilty about going all the way there and not seeing things this time. Mm-hmm. But I saw a few things. Mike and I went and checked out Trinity College and saw some new parts of town, hung out with some great people. So there was a vacation aspect to it for me, but it wasn't like relaxing, hang out on the beach type of vacation. It was, let's have some fun, but I was still back to the hotel early enough to where I could get up in the morning and see some keynotes, get to the sessions and that sort of thing. So if you do it right, it can be both, but it's a very fine line to walk, I feel.
Joe, is it a vacation?
I would agree with Chris in that it's like, there are certainly aspects of it where it can feel like vacation. For me, it's in a different new city every year. And I feel like if I'm going to take the time to fly all the way to Dublin, I should, you know, at least spend a little time checking out the sites and seeing the city. And so I try to make an effort to do that. But it's also like, I would say it's not a vacation in the sense that in terms of my participation in the community and the documentation and things that I work on, I would say the two DrupalCons are probably the two most productive weeks of the year for me in terms of like getting things done when it comes to moving initiatives forward for documentation. And I think a lot of that is like, it's the opportunity to be in the same space as other people that you're working on these initiatives with and hash through things and talk about it. And like, sure, we're in Dublin, so maybe that space should be the Dublin Castle or a traditional Irish pub. But, you know, while we're hanging out and seeing some cool stuff, we're also being productive and getting a lot of work done. And it's also for anyone that speaks at or volunteers or is in other ways involved with DrupalCon, it's a lot of work to show up and give a session. And it's like, yes, I'm going to go out and have fun with my friends because I get this opportunity a couple of times a year, but it's also, you know, a huge amount of work went into preparing for it in advance. You know, it's the, you're supposed to put like an hour's worth of time into every minute of presentation. So if you're doing a 40 minute presentation, that's like 40 hours worth of work that goes into preparing. Mm-hmm. And not that I necessarily do that.
just checking.
But yeah. yeah. Not a vacation, but a really cool opportunity to have the chance to visit some different places around the world and take the time to get to see those places because you're there.
So I'm going to take the answer here and say it is kind of like a vacation, you know, in multiple ways. So you're right, Joe, that it's different when you're speaking. And I was not speaking at Dublin. When I was in New Orleans, I was speaking and I had to take it easy because my, you know, session was on Thursday. So maybe it was a little bit different now. I also didn't have anything to do. I didn't have any – Lullabot did not have a booth in Dublin, so I didn't have any booth duty. When we're in North America, that's different. So I had nowhere to be except for where I wanted to be, you know. And most of the time that was at the conference, you know. And it's so great to see friends from different continents and countries and all over the world. And when I see friends like that, of course, you know, you want to catch up over some beers and have fun. And we did get to go see the city. And of course I talked about the hiking that we did earlier. And for me, it's kind of almost both. It's a vacation, maybe part high school reunion and part learning experience, you know, but you know, that's maybe my take on it. But I also have the view that the most value that I get out of DrupalCon is really from meeting people and developing those relationships that you wouldn't otherwise have. Yep. You know,
I'm gonna align with you, Mike, but I'm gonna disagree. I was not at DrupalCon Dublin, but I'm gonna say that DrupalCon isn't a vacation. So it's kind of interesting because Drupal walks the line of, you know, the community versus the software. And sometimes when you entered the community matters. So a lot of times you talk to people now who are doing Drupal because their company is doing Drupal. And then you get sent to DrupalCon because, hey, we're using Drupal, so we might as well learn something about it. In my previous job, I always went to a nonprofit software conference because that's what you did. That was the company's conference. And you put it on and you see where the future's going and what you need to learn to be able to do a good job at your job. And I think that's true about DrupalCon, right? There's a continuing education aspect of it. But I think one thing that you guys have all kind of touched on but haven't really called out was how much professional networking goes on at DrupalCon. And mm-hmm. It can be over a beer at a pub. It can be, you know, in the hallway talking to these people who are all doing, you know, similar things to you and knowing people inside your professional network and getting to know them and talking to them and learning from them is a really important part of being able to do your job because Drupal is a community. It's not just the software, right?
Well, I think like one of the things that makes me good at Drupal is I often know, I don't know the answer to the question, but I know who to ask to get an answer to the question. And a lot of that comes from like exactly what you're saying, Matt, meeting other people in the community, learning about what they are interested in, what they're good at, and then remembering them by running into them once or twice a year. And when I come up with the question about like, how do plug-in derivatives work? This thing is crazy. I know who to ask and get an answer.
And it's great that we get the opportunity to go to these cool places, you know, if it's Dublin, if it's New Orleans, if it's, you know, Los Angeles, Portland. And DrupalCon's been in some really great locations, and it's cool that that's the backdrop for the conference. But man, if that's a vacation, it's the most exhausted after a vacation I've ever been.
Yeah, that could be true. I as a follow-up to what you were just saying, I had a conversation with Matt Glamman, who he's a developer at the Commerce Guys, and he was on our podcast several podcasts ago. And so,
you know, I probably shouldn't be saying this, but hey, I'm going to say it. His wife wasn't too happy with him, you know, traveling across the world, being left with the kids and stuff like that. And, you know, it was up to him to convince her that, hey, you know, Commerce Guys is a smaller company now. He's constantly out there meeting people. He is trying to sell stuff or even talk about it, kind of evangelize Drupal Commerce. And, you know, when you're doing that, you have to be on point a lot, you know. And for a situation like that, it's definitely not a vacation. I can see that. But, you know, in my personal situation, you know, it wasn't like that. So it was more vacation-y to me.
Yeah. So I guess the question is, ask yourself, if you were in Dublin for a week, but DrupalCon wasn't happening, how would it be different?
Yeah.
What would you do different to, like, define a real vacation? So I think it's like, go ahead, Joe.
My take on it was, you have to ask yourself, like, would I go to DrupalCon if it was in Green Bay, Wisconsin? I was like, yeah, I'd still go and it'd still be valuable, but I certainly wouldn't go there for vacation.
Yeah. You probably get a little bit less of a turnout that way.
Well, I mean, it is in Baltimore.
I was going to say, when I think vacation destinations, Baltimore, Maryland comes to mind.
Yeah.
April 24th through the 28th, 2017, DrupalCon in Baltimore.
Well, Baltimore is close to Washington, D.C.
That's
true. There's a lot of cool stuff there. And you know, I plan on getting out there a little bit early and maybe going to the Smithsonian. My favorite museum is the Air and Space Museums that they have there. And I hope you guys will join me.
I know Lullabot's planning on ramping up the party. We're getting back to our roots, and we're going to do it big style this time. So,
never
missed one before. Yeah, we're the rumor on the street is that we're putting a lot more into it this year. So DrupalCon Baltimore is supposed to be the biggest Lullabot party in recent years.
If it's on the podcast, it's set in stone.
No, it is now. You're welcome, Matt.
We have a few months to figure it out now, so that's good.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then after that, as announced at DrupalCon in Dublin, is the next one, DrupalCon Vienna, the 25th through the 29th of September, 2017.
Yeah, that sounds super exciting. I hope to make it to that. I also want to make it to Spain for either a Drupal Camp or a Drupal Dev Days. So we'll see how all that pans out. But Vienna sounds amazing.
Cool. Chris. Yeah. Anything we didn't mention about DrupalCon that we should have talked about?
I don't know. I always like to do just a quick shout out to the volunteers. I'd never done it before, but New Orleans I did. I went down and put my name in to do some room monitoring and to help out making sure audio video stuff was working. And it's really not difficult. I took a break from a couple sessions to do it, and it felt good to like help out and make it happen. So I know how much information I've gotten from DrupalCon in the past, so I encourage everyone to take a look at the next one that comes up. If they're doing a call for volunteers, it takes very little time. You get to sit in and help out. And it's having that voluntary community support that makes the whole thing run. So shout out to all the volunteers that made it happen.
Pretty sure that's not an if there's a call for volunteers. There will be. Just be on the lookout for it. Mm-hmm. Joe, anything out? Anything we didn't talk about that you wanted to mention about DrupalCon in Dublin?
No, I don't think so. I had a great time, and I would say for anyone who's ever on the fence about whether or not it's worth attending DrupalCon, it's totally worth it for all kinds of different reasons.
Mike Herschel.
Yes. You know, I also would like to shout out to the wonderful people at the Drupal Association who definitely did not have a vacation over there because they were working their tails off. And you could see that every day as they were kind of scrambling around, but the conference, in my opinion, really went off without a hitch. It was beautiful. It was obviously well run and well planned, and so yeah, and it shows. And I think everybody sees that.
How was the Wi-Fi?
Wi-Fi worked for the most part
really well. I think there were a couple connection problems, like limited threads, but it was fast when it was when you were on. It was running.
We know how to stress a Wi-Fi network, so that's impressive that it still worked at the end of the day. So cool.
You got to bring multiple devices and torrent your Linux distributions. That's how you do it.
I always say the two metrics that define a good DrupalCon are Wi-Fi and coffee, and this one was, I think it was pretty high up there on both. So well done, Drupal Association.
Yeah.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you, Matt.
Thanks, Matt. Thanks, Mike.
Thanks friends. Joe. Thanks, Chris.
Thanks, John Boy. That was my whole goal for this, was I want to be the outtake. That's my life's goal, is to be an outtake.